World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, thanks for getting up with me this morning. Got a lot rolling through my head. I'm going to try to get through it here as quickly as I can, as accurately as I can. I want to throw this out before I go any further. And this is not what the show's about today, okay? I'm going to throw this out there. What if Trump's one of them? Meaning, what if the Epstein files show Trump with some young girls? Now, hang on. Two things I want you to think about. Do you trust any video that you could see on the internet? Because of AI, would it be possible that they could create a video of Donald Trump with a young girl? I think that would be possible. Now, the second question is, what if he did it? What if he did it? And I think those of us who are honest are going to have to face up to it. If he did it, he did it, and he'll have to pay for it. But I also caution you to understand this, that I don't trust AI. And you guys know this, right? They can create real videos. Hang on, pull this one up real quick. Number 8, just real quick, while I'm gone there. Stay with me. This is not what it's about. How about this baby? No, that's not it. Number 8, Israel threat detector. Should be number 8. Oh, it's second number 8. Now, I'm not going to. Do you guys know this? Do you know that they are creating an AI system now? I'm not going to play this, okay? I'll put it in the chat if you want to. Do you know that they're creating a new AI system where they do predictive crime? Predictive crime. In other words, they do a profile on Dr. Paul Gosselin, and they say, you know, this guy's crazy. This guy's been arrested. He's going to shoot somebody, and they come and arrest him. Did you know that? Do you guys know that's going on? Did you know that's the next step? You know that? You know that they're going to be out there and they're going to be Googling and doing whatever AI does. And they're going to say that Coach Dave is dangerous. That Coach Dave is leading an insurrection. And then they're going to come. Huh? Folks, we're there. We're there. Put this in the chat. We will respond to the super chat. Okay. Anyway, this is new Israeli AI. Who? Oh, don't get me going on that. Don't get me going on Israel. Please don't do that to me, Lord. Please don't do that to me. New Israeli AI threat detection. So in other words, they're going to be peeking into your life so deeply with AI that they're going to predict what you're going to do. And Dr. Paul, they're going to lock you up because you've been saying some crazy things and they've been following your media posts and they don't want anybody to get hurt. So they're going to come and lock you up for a thinking about a crime. That's where we are, friends. Okay, so look, I got to get that out. Put it in the chat. Watch it. It's 7-8 minutes. It's here now. Crime prediction. Crime prediction. Yep. Crime prediction. And you do know this, right? They're only after certain kind of crimes. Okay, let me pull this one up here. I'm going to enjoy this here a second. Here's why a lot of you don't get me. Point number one. Here's why a lot of you, especially women, especially that is that it? No, that's not it. Tell me I got it. I put the same daggone thing. You got to bear with me, man. Judd sent it to me. Judd, where are you? Thanks, Judd. I'm going to bear with me. Let me play something while I look what I'm looking for here. Hang on. Play number 3. While I find what I'm looking for here. Go ahead and play number 3.
Plum tree don't eat plums.
Listen to this.
A pear tree don't eat pears. All they get is water. Cause the fruit ain't for the tree. The fruit is for people who pass by. Your gift ain't for you, which is why you can be depressed at home and be on the phone giving other people a word that'll flip their life. Have you ever hung up the phone like, I should have told myself that? It's because your gift, Michael, ain't for you. Watch this. Wisdom is a plum.
Your gift ain't for you. Your gift ain't for you. I got to find this thing. I got to get this. Is the premise of the whole daggone show, and I don't have it popping up. How can I do it? Bear with me here a second. Oh, my goodness, Lord, help me here. Help me here, Lord. But somebody come in here a second while I dig. I know I sent this to myself. I know I did. Why can't I find it? Let me see here. Come on in, Betty. You look like you want to say something. Maybe you don't. Say it anyway. Say, oh, I got it.
Good morning. Okay.
Hey, coming to you, Spencer. Hang on. Coming.
Coach, gifts are made to give away. Gifts are made to get. Gifts are made to give. Talents, you're given talents at birth, just like God did in the story. And you're supposed to use your talents for others.
That's right.
Amen, Coach. I totally believe that.
Amen. I believe. Amen. Most of us don't even know what our gift is. Sorry, we don't even understand our giftings. And I can tell you this. Oh, Lord, I always end up going here. Have you ever had a pastor come to you and develop your gift? You ever had a pastor? I'm a coach. What's the job of a coach? To develop the team, to recognize a gift and develop it. Now, when you go, all good, we got it. Get ready to go. When you go to, see, Michelle, I hear you, Michelle. She says same thing, different, same thing. Same, yep, yep, it is, it is. Here, hey, Betty, I'm going to explain to the whole world why I yell. Nick Saban, you guys know who Nick Saban is? He was a football coach at, well, he started out at Toledo. He went to Michigan State. He went to the Miami Dolphins. And he ended up at Alabama and just quit 2 years ago to Alabama. And friends, this is what a coach does. So if you say, I can't take the yelling. I can't take the yelling of Coach Dave. I just can't take the yelling, right? Well, I'm a coach. Play Nick Saban.
Up and throw the ball. What'd you do when you were a kid? Play Nintendo?
Your friend Jimbo said yesterday that at some point while you're in Tuscaloosa, he was going to beat your butt. That wasn't the word that he used, but did you have any response for that?
In golf?
Terrell! Run the road again! Damn it! It's cut! You don't have anybody to flat!
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
If I had a barometer up your ass to say whether you were giving effort or not, it was about 50%.
You all don't remember the Georgia Southern game, do you? I don't think we had a guy on that field that didn't play in the NFL, and about four or five of them were first-round draft picks. And I think that team won a national championship, but I'm not sure. And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them. Could not stop them. Could not stop them. I don't even know what you asked me, but I just wanted to say that.
That's it, man, huh? Huh? That's me. I ain't Nick Saban, but that, folks, that's how a coach acts. That's how a coach acts. And when I bring that locker room approach to here, it's hard for some people to swallow. And I always told the kids, listen to what I say, not how I say it. I'm going to say it again. Listen to what I say, not how I say it. All right? Or as that one lady said to me one time, you remind me of my ex-husband. I thought that was a good one. That was a good one. Okay, so I played fruit. Where am I? What the heck is that one? Oh, man. What if Trump's one of them? What if he's not one of them? I got some good stuff for you here today. Pull up John Rich, number 5. Pull up number 5. John Rich, you guys know him? New song out. Hasn't really been released yet. It's called The Righteous Hunter. By the way, I don't know if I have it ready to go. Spencer can get it ready for me to go. Christianity is a contact sport. See if you can find that, Spencer. Today's commentary and News with Views, which is going to go out tomorrow. Look, I'm sorry if I'm making this about me, okay? I'm not trying to make it about me. Not, I really am not. Spencer, can you get that? Can you get that one set up as well? Be able to go to it. So here is John Rich on the Sean Ryan Show. Huh? The Righteous Hunter. Go ahead.
Has anybody ever sang a song on your show before?
No.
I brought a guitar, if I could be so bold, because I've never sang The Righteous Hunter to anybody. It's not out. You can't download it. There's no nothing. But I would be really curious what your audience especially would think of this song.
Let's do it.
Evil runs around this town undercover, looking for a soul to take. But they better stay away from the righteous hunter, or hell is all they'll pay. 'Cause I can see around the corner, and I know you're coming. If you had any sense, you'd run. But you ain't got a clue what a daddy will do. Better give your soul to Jesus while I get my gun. You better give your soul to Jesus while I get my gun. They try to steal away our sons and daughters, shrouded in the shadow of night. But we fight with protection of the Heavenly Father, and we ain't scared to die. And I can see you around the corner, and I know you're coming. If you had any sense, you'd run. But you ain't got a clue what a daddy will do. Better give your soul to Jesus while I get my gun. Better give your soul to Jesus while I get my gun. Recall the words that Jesus said, better off millstones around their necks, and we pray. Not our will, but thine be done, bringing end to the reign of the wicked one. This we claim in your name. And I can see you around the corner, and I know you're coming. If you had any sense, you'd run. But you ain't got a clue what a daddy will do. Better give your soul to Jesus while I get my gun.
Has anybody ever sang?
Wow, huh? Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I just want to share it today. You know, I write every week at News with Views. Not every week, but usually comes out every Thursday. And Paul Walter at News with Views changed me to Friday. He said there's a bigger audience on Friday. Praise the Lord. So I wrote this, and I just want to share it with you. Because, friends, we at what point are we going to recognize that we're in a war? And at what point are you going to get engaged if, for heaven forbid, the rapture teaching was wrong? What if there isn't a rapture, an escape evacuation? What if there isn't one? You say, well, Coach, the Bible's very clear there is one. Well, that's not true. It isn't very clear. And I'm not here to argue whether or not there's a rapture. It's not the whole debate. My life could end tomorrow. I could not wake up tomorrow morning. Chances are, I think I'm going to die before a rapture. That's just kind of what I think. And I don't know what you guys think. I got 10 and a half grandbabies, and they're going to live in a culture that I leave them. They're going to live what I leave them. They can stick me in a hole and put 6 foot of dirt over me, and my inheritance, my heritage, will be what I left to them. Psalm 78, pull that up real quick. Pull up Psalm 78. This is what drives me, okay? Psalm 78. Hmm? Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your words to my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. And I'm going to utter dark sayings of old, which we have known. We heard them. And our daddies told us. You know why they're dark? Because we've covered them over. We change Christianity into feel good. We're in a war, and we change Christianity to feel good. We will not hide them from our children. Hide what? Those dark sayings of old. We're not going to hide them from our children. We're going to show the next generation to come praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he's done. Are we doing that in America today? Are they teaching in your public school where you're paying your outrageous tax dollars? Are they teaching that to you, or are they hiding it from the children? For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel. And he commanded that the daddies would make them known to their children, not the public schools. Our job is not to put them in the public schools and let the public schools give them an No. Why? That the generation to come might know them. Know what? But he commanded the fathers. Tag team handoff. That even the children which should be born, they would rise up and declare to their children. But they told us there was a separation between the church and state, and the church bought it. That they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And not be like their daddies, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know what amazes me? One of the things that really, really amazes me, how rare a strong, vocal Christian man is in America. Would somebody say amen? Vinny, that'd be a good time. Do you guys know him? Strong, vocal Christian men are hated. Not only amen. That, they're hated by the church. Huh? Oh, yeah, they are. And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They had everything they need. The children of Ephraim had everything they need for victory, and they turned back. And today, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And we turned and walked away. They kept not the covenant of God. And they refused to walk in his laws. And they forgot his works and his wonders that he'd showed them. Marvelous things that he did in the sight of their daddies. In the land of Egypt. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could go back and talk to those Revolutionary War guys? What they laid down their lives for. Go stand at Gettysburg. And if those graves could talk. And they'd look at us. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zion. Okay, that's enough of it. That is modern day America. Modern day America. So I had something else I was telling you I wanted you to bring up. I forgot what it was. You remember what it was, Spencer? Oh, yeah, I know what it was. I'm sorry. Today's commentary. Bear with me. I'm going to get this out. I'm going to bring in. This hasn't been released yet. Christianity is a contact sport. I'm just going to pause that a minute. Christianity is a contact sport. It ain't soccer. It ain't tiddlywinks. It ain't volleyball. It's a contact sport. In fact, when I used to talk about football, see, dancing, a wise man once said, dancing is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. Christianity is a collision sport, folks. One of the major issues that we're dealing with in America is the absence of the voice of Christians in the political and cultural debate. Although we would all agree that the message of the love of God is important, it is not the entire message. Jesus exhorted us in Matthew that his followers were to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. The idea that Christianity is a passive, personal-only system of beliefs has given us the cultural sewer that we find our children swimming in today. I'm okay, you're okay.
Boom.
Jesus said we would be salt, not sugar. A quick study will show you the elements of salt. Unfortunately, many in the American church system have been trained to present the gospel as sugar. Here are the five elements of salt. And ask yourself if the average American Christian is being trained in how to be salt in a poisoned culture. Number one, salt is a preservative. It keeps things from rotting. We used salt before we had refrigeration. Two, salt regulates the functions of the body. Three, salt adds flavor. Four, salt heals wounds. Five, salt melts ice, cold, dead hearts.
Amen, boom.
Salt stings. And my favorite, salt kills slugs. That's just to name a few. You see, sugar kills. In fact, they're finding direct correlation now between sugar and cancer. Did you know that? No, you don't know that because they're not going to tell you that. Sugar kills. Salt heals. Christians are supposed to be salt. Sugar feeds parasites. Thank you, Mel. Who are you to judge? I don't know what's like in your circle of influence, but being accused of being too judgmental. Did anybody hear that but me? Anybody hear that but me? I get five of those a day. It's a standard response of those who don't particularly like the effects of salt. Think about that sugar. Jesus didn't tell us not to judge. Quite the opposite. He told us to clean up our own lives, clear our own eyes so that we could judge righteously. Do you teach your children to judge? Right from wrong? Good from bad? What kind of fool doesn't judge? You see, we're witnesses, not judges. We testify to the truth and let God do the judging. Pointing out sin is witnessing, not judging. So where to judge the things of this world? Passive Christianity will not carry the day. Friends, time out. Let me ask you a question. Does Joel Osteen have any impact at all on the cultural issues in America? Any at all? Largest church in America? Any at all? Passive Christianity will not carry the day. The Bible teaches us that we wrestle. Wrestle is not a passive sport against spiritual wickedness in high places. High speaks to authority, not physical location, government, schools, etc. Those are the high places, positions of authority. In fact, the Bible tells us that all creation groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. How many folks, let me jump off here a second. You go to your church, a church where they tell you to prepare for occupation of the United States or for evacuation from it. Come on now, be honest. You go to, I promise you this. If you go to a church where they talk about occupation, occupying the culture, teaching everyone to observe all I've commanded you, if you go to a church like that, there'd be 10 people. You and a couple others. Everybody don't be there. No, because they've passed the sugar to us. See, they've passed the sugar. That would be me and you. All creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of God's people to show up. That would be me and you, us. The world is waiting for Christians to show up and do our job. Damn, this is good, isn't it? Huh? Meet. Eat and retreat. Unfortunately, that has become the siren song of American Christianity. Much of American churchianity has devolved into self-help centers where Christians gather to invoke the blessings of God on their selfish desires. The name it and claim it version of Christianity, marketed by celebrity, Christian celebrity pastors. I'm trying not to say boom. Christian celebrity pastors. And they've created a generation of men who are called to be celebrity pastors as well. Has watered down the saltiness of the truth. Today, many Christians go to church on Sundays to get their batteries recharged. You ever hear that? There's no power to advance God's kingdom because everyone is striving to advance their own. Here's a simple question I love to ask my fellow Christian teammates. That'd be y'all out there, all your pastors out there. What have you done today to advance the kingdom of God? Not personal Christianity, not a closer walk with Jesus, not a more purified walk. What have you done to advance the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. It's hard to build God's kingdom when our focus is on building our own.
Boom.
Simple question. When was the last time your church took a public stand for Christ outside the four walls? I'm not talking about going out and handing out book bags and handing out food to the poor. I'm not talking about that. That mercy ministry, we should all do that, and we love to do it because we feel better when we do it. Somebody who goes and runs into the flames, Judd, they call him a wedge buster, somebody who throws their body into the enemy. Many of those. When was the last time your church took a public stand for Christ outside the four walls? Has your pastor taken your church to a school board meeting? City council meeting? A homosex grooming session at the local library? No, they don't want to do that because all of the world is going to call them crazy. We're peculiar people, the Bible says. Is your local mayor, city council, school board, or county commissioners even know your church exists? Do they care? Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Can't the body of Christ even squeak? Tell a story real quickly. I met with about 20 years ago, my then congressman, Pat Teaberry, here in Columbus. I went and met with him one time and had a good discussion. It was on the gay marriage thing, I think I was talking to him about. When I left, he shook my hand, was very genuine, said, "Coach Dave, thanks for coming. We never hear from you folks." That's what he told me. So let's advance the kingdom of God. You see, America's in flux. The wickedness around us is being exposed, especially in the government. At no time in my life has there been a greater opportunity to tear down the kingdom of darkness. Bear with me as I share with you the Lord's Prayer. By the way, His prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Folks, we ain't gone to the kingdom. The kingdom's coming. The kingdom is within. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if your kingdom comes, then your will be done. Where on earth? What's the disconnect here? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Really? Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation. Because why? We have to be spiritually clean to wage war. Get rid of that spiritual fat. And deliver us from evil. Are you listening to the Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from evil. Why? Because thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen. You see, the Lord's Prayer, his wish is that his kingdom would be expanded over all the earth. Not that we'd be raptured out of here. He uses humans to spread the word. The Bible calls us bond servants. We're prisoners to the king. Christians are the ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? He represents a king and goes into a foreign country as the king's representative. He's an ambassador. Well, we're the ambassadors into a foreign world. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And it's our job to go into all the world, ambassador, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's our mission statement. Wake up, pastor. Shake the elders out of their slumber. It's time for the body of Christ to come out of hiding and engage the enemy, because Christianity is a contact sport.
Boom.
Thank you. I was waiting for a boom.
Double boom.
So in my opinion, here's where we sit. It's a collision sport, right, Paul? It's a collision sport. It's a collision sport. Come on in. Somebody come on in.
I need to find a phone book and look up churches and send that letter to every church in that phone book.
It's good, isn't it? Hey, yes. Betty, let me ask you something. Why do people think I'm crazy?
Because you speak truth and they don't want to hear the truth. You offend them then.
It's conviction.
Yes, it is.
Conviction. See, folks, everything. Hey, do me real quick. Huh? Put Saban back up there for me. Let's watch him again. Let's watch Nick Saban again, running around, screaming and hollering at everybody, calling out names. And everybody says, man, what a great coach. What a great coach he was. Whoa, man, you don't mess with Nick Saban. What a great coach. Can you throw that back up there, Spence? Can we watch that again? What a great coach. Well, he screamed and hollered, gave orders. Go ahead.
Bob, throw the ball. What'd you do when you were a kid? Play Nintendo?
Your friend Jimbo said yesterday that at some point while you're in Tuscaloosa, he was going to beat your butt. That wasn't the word that he used, but did you have any response for that?
In golf?
Terrell, run the road again. Damn it, it's cut. You don't have anybody to flat.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you
flattery
usually
kills.
Give us
flattery
is
kills.
Usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
If I had a barometer up your ass to say whether you were giving effort or not, it was about 50%.
Y'all don't remember the Georgia Southern game, do you? I don't think we had a guy on that field that didn't play in the NFL, and about four or five of them were first-round draft picks. And I think that team won a national championship, but I'm not sure. And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them. Could not stop them. Could not stop them. I don't even know what you asked me, but I just wanted to say that.
So the devil is running through the society and the culture, and sadly, we got all kinds of Hall of Famers. But we can't stop him. We can't stop him. Could Joel Osteen raise up an army against this? Could Rick Warren raise up an army against this? Is there anybody, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, could anybody raise up an army against this? Okay, I'll say it, Lord. Rod Parsley tried to do that about 20 years ago, and then the IRS came and investigated, and he put a sock in his mouth. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. He put a sock in his mouth. Yep, he did. Because you can't serve two men. I just said, take the whole damn place. I'm not going to bend, and I'm not going to bow to the truth. You can have the whole damn place. You have this whole church, this multi-million dollar church. Come and take it, dude. You are not going to shut up my mouth. Come on in, Dale.
Well, Coach, there's so much I want to say. First off, I go back and I think about, you know, people are offended because of your personality. You know, yeah. I say, get yourself a ladder and get over it. I don't Amen. Know what else to say. But
it's
Coach,
what made me what I am, Dale. It made me what I am, brother.
Right, exactly. This is the Lord's doing of you. And if the Lord desires to move you, he will move on you. And I know he has. But, Coach, let me tell you something. I'm not here to try to give you all these platitudes. I have known you probably longer than anybody on the show and have been in the foxhole with you longer. Sure. When we go back, let me tell you what. There's three people that have had huge impacts, not only in my life, but in my children's life. And then I'll bring the next point. Flip Benham, right? I'm just telling you, his articulation, but his demonstration of manifesting, Amen. Bringing his biology and making it bringing his theology and making it the biology in the streets.
Bringing his theology right? and giving life to it in the streets, making his theology biography. Yes, sir.
Amen, Coach. And then Rusty Thomas, man, you've just shut the microphones off. He don't need it. And then Coach, you. Coach, we always look forward with pen and pencil in that OSA locker room, sitting there. We loved you even before we really knew you and got close to you. You made such an impact on my life, my wife's, and my children. And Coach, this thing, what do we want to leave to the generations that are behind Amen. Us? Not the teaching, not just the teaching of God, but the demonstration. I was sharing with a customer, the Jesus I serve isn't something that I just learned in the book. He manifests himself. He demonstrates himself, and he shows himself mighty and true. And these are the testimonies, and I begin to speak those testimonies. And people stand back. Hey, you want to debate all you want to. You can't argue against the testimony. And Nick Saban, Coach, that tells you how most churches are they got frustrated with Nick Saban because he didn't bring a championship to LSU within the first 3 years, and guess what, Coach? LSU threw him out the door. How yep. stupid were they getting rid of that coach, right?
Amen.
I
Amen.
Appreciate your coach impact Thanks, on my children.
Thanks, Dale. This is not pat me on the back day. I appreciate it, dude. Hey, Spencer, quickly bring up Matthew 11:7-11. Matthew, well, you can just bring up Matthew 11.
Coach, while you're getting ready to do that, hey, Coach, real quick, let me say this, that someone who loves Jesus more than you is a radical fanatical. That's all I can say. All right.
And it came to pass when Jesus, okay, this is good. Came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. What? Jesus was a street preacher? What? He'd been in church with his 12 disciples, and he said, I got to go out and get these lost people. Have you been trained in your church on how to street minister? Now, when Jesus had heard in the prison, John the Baptist heard in the prison the works of Christ. Jesus, John the Baptist is locked up in jail because he went to the king, position of authority, and told the king his wife was a whore. He spoke truth to power. And John the Baptist is in prison, and he's hearing about what's going on out there. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? John said to Jesus, are you it? I mean, are you the real deal? Or is there another one coming? Or is there a rapture coming? Jesus said unto them, you go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. You go tell John about the works we're doing. Whoever told you that Christianity doesn't have works is a liar. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, Jesus said. Wow. And as they departed, Jesus began to send to the multitudes concerning John. You know that wild, crazy guy they locked up? You know that street preacher, John? You know, John, he went to the government. You know, he read the mail. You know those J6, or you know those guys? He said, what'd you guys go, what did you go out to see? A reed? A blow this way, blow that way? Joel Osteen? A sissy pastor? Is that what you thought you were going to go see? A reed? Shaking in the wind? Oh, no. No. You know what you went out to see? You wanted to go out and see some guy dressed in nice clothes in big church, doing great music, everybody loving him. What do they call that? The lighting system. The aura. So did you go out and see some guy dressed like that? He says, listen to me, dude. Those that wear soft clothing, they're sitting in the king's house. I would bet you this, that the majority of Christian pastors have never shared the gospel on the street. I would guess. He said, what, you go out to see a prophet? Yeah. Yeah. You went out to see a prophet. He's more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written. John the Baptist was the messenger. What does a messenger do? He carries the message. Behold, I send my messenger to you guys before your face. Because he's preparing the way for me. And I'm going to tell you this, that among them born of a woman. By the way, how many were born of a woman? How many people were born of a woman?
All of them.
Thank you. Of all of those born of a woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, it's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, hang on. Violence doesn't mean guns and knives and bullets, although it may come to that. That's not what it means. Violent. Those who are willing to violate the standard procedure, the standard culture, they are the ones who are going to violate it. They're going to take it back by force. I ought to charge for this, except I got it free from the Holy Spirit. Not one in 100 churches live that out. Not one in 1,000 live that out. In your local school, they're teaching transgenderism to the children and not a peep from the church. In fact, if some pastor in the community tried to get other pastors to go with him, would they go, Dale? Would those other pastors go with him? Hey, Pastor Clint, would the other pastors in the community join with you to go be the salt of the earth and to violently take it back by force? Would they do that?
I'm still waiting.
They ain't coming. I don't know what you guys think. Being a Christian is the hardest thing I ever did. Hardest thing I've ever done. Because my nature is to go opposite of that. Come on in, Glenn. Sorry to talk so long. No, I'm not. You needed to hear it. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah. So my question is, and I think I know the answer, but the question is, why are so many pastors, they're not dumb people, right? They're smart guys. And you know, many of them have led and built churches. Why are so many pastors so lethargic about practicing what really is the gospel? Is it fear of man? Is it fear of loss?
It's comfort.
What is it? Comfort.
Glenn, here's the truth. I've won this gout battle, I'm feeling pretty good again. The last thing I want to do is go exercise. You get fat and sassy. And pastors get fat, sassy, and comfortable. Not all of them. Come on. Some of them are in the trenches. So I run a risk when I say all of them. But for the most part, that's it. They're expanding their own kingdom, their church, their congregation. They don't partner with Christians down the road. It's competition. That's all I know, Glenn. I can't explain it. So we're trying to put together an all-star team here. Look at me. I ain't a pastor, okay? I'm a coach. I'm not a pastor. I don't claim to be. I don't claim for you to be part of a congregation here, although we are. I told somebody the other day, I'll say it again. This is a business. Coach Dave Lye is a business. It ain't a ministry. I see what ministry's become. Oh, yeah. Only good thing about Coach Dave Lye is it's a business with a tax deduction, by the way, which is what the First Amendment of the Constitution gives you. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I don't need government's approval to be tax exempt. I'm tax immune. We just do it because they tell us we have to. Are you done, Glenn? I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
I just wanted to put the question out there. Amen. I'd like to hear, you know, be interested in hearing some other comments on that.
All right, folks, come on in. Joe Allen.
And when you get the right pastor lead his church, they get things done instead of being a hireling. You get the right coach like you, Coach, you get out there and you get things done. You got Alabama this weekend, hasn't lost an opening season for 24 years. They lost their good coach.
They got beat.
Enough said.
That's right. Huh? And so what happens? When I come in here and I try to coach y'all, some of you suck on your thumb and go sit on the bench. Sorry. That's the way it is. Judah.
Yeah, just to add to Glenn's question, you know, obviously I'm not the say-all on everything. When you have a private body of Christ, you're not a hireling. You're following God's word. You're doing his work. But when you are a hireling and you connect your boat to the Southern Baptist Church or to the Apostles Network or to the Kenneth Copeland Network, you now have connected your caboose to these other organizations that have been sucking on the tit of the CIA in their government funding for years.
Because it's prosperous, see? They think prosperity is blessing of God. That's what they've convinced us of, see?
Right, and they sound good. They give you all the fluff. But at the end of the day, they have their marching orders. And their marching orders line up directly with the degrees. And when people come to understand they are controlled opposition, it all makes sense.
Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, right? Oh, folks, we've been so deceived, I'm telling you. Craig, come on in.
So here's another view on this whole thing, Coach, with Glenn's question. Okay, Bose, right, which is a well-known radio, has a thing called active noise cancellation earphones. And what it does is it cancels the sound by using microphones to detect unwanted ambient noise. Okay. Well, so what's Refiner's Fire doing? Refiner's Fire is taking the powers and principalities over that church, over its people, over its eldership, that the Holy Spirit is trying to poke through. And the question isn't, oh, the Holy Spirit isn't powerful enough, because the Holy Spirit could flatten that church in a second. The Holy Spirit's waiting for someone to go there and break the connection that's holding on it. And that's why going through these churches and praying and letting the Holy Spirit maybe bypass the pastor, it's going to go into the eldership, or it might go into the people in the pews. But the Holy Spirit will pierce through, because somebody went there and said, you're wearing Jesus's jersey. You're very hard on your kids, right? If they wore their jersey, they wore it during the game and they wore it in school. And what we're doing is we're saying, you're wearing Jesus's jersey. And guess what? The coach is in the room and Jesus is looking down.
Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness, Greg. I'm here, Spencer. Put this up here real quick. Put this up. Come on in, Randy. Spencer, wait till Randy's done. Go ahead. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, the church, the intent of Christ when he said, I will build my church, was a counter. The church was the counter to the system of the world. It was called the kingdom of God, Coach. The church is the representative of the kingdom of God. So, look, I'm sorry that we're where we're at. We were born into this. You know, we got to change it. But I want to see where it's going. I don't want to see where it's been. I mean, I want to model something that they haven't seen. I want to model the church, Coach. Doing the stone, the staking, and going and doing and being the church. Look, they've never seen this before. Dale's showing them down there in Louisiana. He's showing them how to be the church. Okay, Pastor Clint is trying to, but we can only do it to the knowledge that we have. So we were born into ignorance, and now we're finally learning how to be the church in the public, in the culture. So look, we can be, but you know what, Coach? It takes people full of the Holy Spirit and outside the systems, because you can't be full of the Spirit and be full of the world. It doesn't work. You have to be all in, or you're just going to be, you know, spitting in the wind. So,
hey, Randy, help me out here.
What we're seeing today, Coach, we're seeing a breakout of what the church really should look like. So
that's
we're
in a good place. That is it. Boom.
Mark Trump just put in there in the chat that the Jesus rent the church. Huh? Oh, yeah. He tore that thing open.
He rent the physical building.
That's right, brother.
It's got nothing to do with it. Got nothing to do with it. It's about us.
That's about us. Okay, so here we go. I want a pastor. I think this is the heart cry of, this is why men don't want to go to church. Right? This is why men don't want to go to church. Go ahead and play it. Put it 1.5. Freeze it. Put it at regular speed. And imagine this is a guy sitting in the pew who wants to be the center fielder. He wants in the game. Go ahead. Amen. time is now, baby. Okay, get it off. How many center fielders are sitting in churches waiting to be put in? They want to play. It's a contact sport. How come John Fogerty? Go back and play the beginning of that. Just play the beginning. Just go to about the 30-second mark. And folks, right there, listen to the read the lyrics. Well, beat the drum and hold the phone. The sun came out today. Go ahead, Spence. We're born again!
That's prophetic, Coach.
It is it ever, huh? Rounded third and heading for home. It's a brown-eyed, handsome man. That's him. That was a pre-redeemed man. He's on the team. He wants to play. Go ahead. Come in, coach. Okay, please. You get that, folks? You understand how many center fielders are sitting in the American churches? But the pastor wants to be the center fielder. He wants to be the pitcher. He wants to be the catcher and the first baseman and the third baseman. And if you come and say, hey, listen, I can play center field, well, not yet. You need a little bit more training. I need to coach you a little bit more. That's what we're dealing with. The pulpits are the reason America's in the condition it's in. That's my take. Come on in, Jeff, quickly.
Coach, that's been my number one song for many years. Every time I was heading to the high school baseball field, I would jam to that song on the way and just get pumped before I got there. Then Coach Savage would have it blasting over the PA as we're hitting ground balls to kids as hard as we could hit them, driving the baseball at them and playing that song, firing the kids up. These pastors need to learn how to be a coach.
Hey, how many guys are pulling into the parking lot that like to be the center fielder? They'd love to play on the team. There ain't just ain't no team. The pastor is he's the coach. He's the quarterback. He's the punter. He's the kicker. And then pastors are saying, "Golly, I'll have to do all this ministry all by myself." Well, you dumb, I almost said it.
Yep.
Huh? It's your own fault, pastor. Put him in the game.
I'd pull into the field, jam into that song, and the kids would gather around the car. They were jacked right away, ready to go.
Because everybody wants to play, Jeff. Even Christians want to play. Come on in, Craig. Or Randy. Come on, Randy's turn. Come on, Randy.
Absolutely, Coach. That's an awesome end right there, Coach. Amen.
Yeah, they're dying to play. They don't know they can play. They don't know they can play. The job of the pastor is to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the works of the ministry. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not the job of the pastor to stand in the pulpit and give you nice sermons. That's not his job. That is not his job. His job is to train, equip, and mobilize you to do the work of the ministry. And the entire church structure is not designed that way. Now, here's the sad thing. You go to a church where they're putting you in the game. A lot of guys change churches. They don't want to play. Here at Coach Dave Live, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, only if you're not ashamed of it. See you tomorrow.